This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
In this edition today, our bulletin of church news to be followed by Panorama, and then our feature of health and healing. Today we shall close with a segment dedicated to the Jubilee of Hope 2025. My name is Kanyanta Godfrey Kampamba. Pope Leo XIV on Wednesday expressed his concern over the escalating conflict in the Democratic Republic of Congo, particularly in the eastern region of North Kivu. Speaking in his appeal during his Wednesday general audience at the Vatican, the Holy Father urged authorities and the international community to prioritize the protection of civilians and seek peaceful resolutions to conflicts. His appeal came after reports of recent fighting between government forces and the M23 rebels in the east of the Democratic Republic of Congo that have led to displacement, casualties, and a humanitarian crisis. Nearly 40 people were killed on Sunday in eastern Congo's Ituri province when rebels stormed a Catholic church during a vigil and opened fire on worshippers. In his petition on Wednesday, Pope Leo XIV made a passionate appeal for all efforts to be made in order to prevent such tragedies. He also reassured all Christians suffering violence and persecution that he is praying for them. Deborah Lubav has this report.
I renew my deep sorrow for the brutal terrorist attack that took place in the eastern part of the Democratic Republic of the Congo,
dove oltre 40 cristiani sono stati uccisi.
Pope Leo XIV made these remarks during his Wednesday general audience in St. Peter's Square. In his appeal, he decried the deadly attack on the parish in eastern Congo's Ituri province. Pope said he entrusts the victims to God's loving mercy, adding, I pray for the wounded and for all Christians around the world who continue to suffer violence and persecution.
Prego per i feriti e per i cristiani che nel mondo continuano a soffrire violenze e persecuzione.
With this in mind, the Pope said, I urge those with responsibilities at both the local and international levels to work together to prevent such tragedies. The Pope today also said that on August 1st, we will mark the 50th anniversary of the signing of the Helsinki Final Act.
Atto finale di Helsinki.
He recalled that motivated by the desire to ensure security in the context of the Cold War, 35 countries ushered in a new geopolitical era, fostering closer ties between the East and the West. Pope Leo today said the event also marked a renewed focus on human rights, with particular attention to religious freedom. Today more than ever, Pope Leo reaffirmed, it is essential to preserve the spirit of Helsinki in order to persevere in dialogue, strengthen cooperation, and make diplomacy the privileged path.
Oggi, più che mai, è indispensabile custodire lo spirito di Helsinki, perseverare nel dialogo, rafforzare la cooperazione e fare della diplomazia la via privilegiata per prevenire e risolvere i conflitti.
I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
Earlier on Wednesday morning, Pope Leo encouraged the faithful present for his midweek general audience to learn to speak properly using words that heal and not those that hurt. May our means of communication heal you and not trouble you, the Pope prayed. Francesca Mello tells us more.
Wednesday saw the conclusion of Pope Leo XIV's catechetical series on the public life of Jesus, which he described as being marked by encounters, parables and healings.
Fatta di incontri, di parabole.
Addressing the faithful gathered in St. Peter's Square for his weekly general audience, the Pope brought everyone's attention to the present, noting that this time we are living through is marked by a climate of violence and hatred that deeply wounds human dignity.
Viviamo in una società che si sta ammalando.
Our society, he continued, is growing ill not from isolation, but from a kind of overload. We are hyper-connected, bombarded by images, sometimes false or distorted.
Talvolta anche false o distorte.
In the midst of all this, many feel tempted to shut down, continued the Pope. We might even prefer to feel nothing at all, he said, noting that words themselves are increasingly fragile. With this in mind, Pope Leo reflected on the reading taken from the Gospel of Mark, which recounts the healing of a man who was deaf and mute. The man is brought to Jesus by others, figures that the Pope said can be seen as an image of the Church.
Che accompagna ogni uomo da Gesù a...
Those who accompany others, especially when they have lost their voice or ability to listen. After meeting Jesus, the man begins to speak again. And this detail, Pope Leo said, reveals a deeper truth. Perhaps he had been silent because he didn't know how to speak or didn't feel adequate.
Tutti noi facciamo esperienza di essere frantesi.
How often, asked the Pope, do we stop speaking because we feel misunderstood? Bringing his address to a close, the Pope reminded us that true communication is not only about being effective, but rather it is about healing, about not hurting others with our words.
Chiediamo al Signore di poter...
Let us ask the Lord to heal our way of communicating and to help the Church remain a place where every person can hear His word, be healed, and become a messenger of His salvation.
Del suo annuncio di salvezza.
I am Francesca Merlo.
On Tuesday evening, Pope Leo XIV gave a beautiful surprise to the hundreds of thousands of young Catholics attending the Jubilee of Youth Welcome Mass in St. Peter's Square. Pope Leo imaged and announced in the square in his Pope Mobile at the end of the evening Mass that kicked off the Jubilee Year of Youth, a week-long celebration for young Catholics. The young pilgrims who had packed the square erupted in shocked cheers and chants as Leo drove around the square and up and down the Via Conciliazione, the road that connects to the St. Peter Square. In a brief off-the-cuff greeting and blessing from the altar, the Pope told the young people that they were beacons of light, hope, and peace that the world needs today. The world needs messages of hope, and you are this message, and must give hope to everyone, he said in a mix of Spanish, English, and Italian. Let us pray for peace, the Pope invited his listeners, and let us be witnesses of the peace of Jesus Christ, of reconciliation, this light of the world that we are all seeking. After the blessing, the Pope wished the young pilgrims a good week in Rome and invited them to gather again on August 2nd and 3rd for the vigil and Mass of the Jubilee of Youth. The Holy Father had not been expected to meet with the young pilgrims as a group until this coming weekend, when he is expected to preside over the Saturday Vigil event and Mass on Sunday in order to conclude the Jubilee Week for the youth. The Welcome Mass on Tuesday was celebrated by Archbishop Bruno Fisichella, who is the architect of the Holy Year. Without betraying the secret, Archbishop Fisichella at the end of the Mass urged the young people not to leave the square, explaining that the Pope had a surprise for us. Faith groups in Africa have gathered in Kenya's capital, Nairobi, to deliberate on ways to boost their participation in climate summits. Their gathering comes ahead of the Second Africa Climate Summit and the 2025 United Nations Climate Change Conference, the COP30. Ashley Kitisia is the manager of the Laudato Si movement that organized the meeting. Speaking in an interview with Arch Africa Catholic News Agency on the sidelines of the Monday, July 28th event, Kitisia said it is unfortunate that faith leaders are hardly ever given a platform when it comes to climate summits. She said that the aim of the meeting was to actually discuss the way forward for faith-based participation in some of these summits, particularly the Africa Climate Summit and also the COP30. She said further that the fact that Africa is at the center of climate crisis, experiencing unprecedented floods, droughts and displacement deeply affecting the communities, calls for participation of faith-based communities on the continent in seeking solutions to the crisis. Human trafficking continues to be a global threat driven by organized crime. More and more victims are being trafficked every year across greater distances with greater violence for longer periods of time and for greater profit. This is according to a report published recently by the United Nations in order to commemorate this year's observance of the World Day Against Human Trafficking in Persons. This is an annual event globally observed on July 30th. The day was established in 2013 by the United Nations General Assembly in order to raise awareness about this scourge and to promote the protection of the rights of trafficking victims. The commemorative theme for 2025 is Human Trafficking is Organized Crime and the Exploitation. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Nurses and midwives in Nigeria have started a nationwide strike to demand improved welfare and better working conditions. The National Association of Nigerian Nurses and Midwives said the strike action became necessary after a 15-day ultimatum expired without a meaningful response from the federal government or the Federal Ministry of Health. As well as an increase in pay, the association is asking the Ministry of Health to create a Department of Nursing. The week-long strike started at midnight on Tuesday. Private hospitals are not affected by the strike action. Staying in Nigeria, at least 25 people died and 11 more have gone missing after a heavy downpour triggered flash flooding in the country's northeastern state of Adamawa. The flooding, which began on Sunday in 5 communities in the Yola area of the state, has so far displaced 5,560 people, the National Emergency Management Agency said in a statement on Tuesday. Last week, the Nigeria Hydrological Services Agency issued a new flood warning covering 28 states and the Federal Capital Territory, cautioning that severe flooding is expected between the 23rd of July and the 5th of August. Nigeria suffered one of its worst disasters in decades in 2024, with flooding killing more than 1,200 people and displacing over 1 million. Troops from Uganda and South Sudan clashed along the border between their countries in a firefight that left at least 4 dead, a Ugandan military official said on Wednesday. Sections of the Uganda-South Sudan border have been contested for years. 3 South Sudanese soldiers were shot dead by Ugandan forces who retaliated after one of their soldiers was killed on Monday, said Major General Felix Kulajigje, spokesperson for the Ugandan military. The firefight occurred in a remote part of northwestern Uganda known as West Nile when South Sudanese soldiers crossed further into Ugandan territory, set up camp and refused to leave, according to the spokesperson for the Ugandan military. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
You are welcome to Health and Healing. In this edition, we examine 2 non-communicable diseases, that is high blood pressure and diabetes, and their effects on some of our body organs. High blood pressure, also known as hypertension, is a long-term medical condition in which the blood pressure in the arteries is persistently and abnormally elevated, forcing the heart to work harder to pump blood to different parts of the body. Diabetes, on the other hand, is a condition characterized by high sugar levels in the blood. The most common types of diabetes are type 1 and type 2. Type 1 occurs when the body's immune system attacks cells in the pancreas that produces a hormone called insulin, which regulates sugar levels in the blood. The attack prevents the cells from either producing enough insulin or not to produce insulin at all, which leads to a rise in the blood sugar levels. Type 2 occurs when the body becomes resistant to insulin. This happens when the cells do not respond effectively to insulin, and thus the sugars remain in the bloodstream instead of being absorbed by the cells. A combination of these 2 conditions often leads to kidney disease, that is, damage to the kidneys. Dr. Benny Mbonye is an orthopedic surgeon and specialist in non-communicable diseases. He explains.
Kidney disease comes about as a result of several conditions: high blood pressure and diabetes. A combination of high blood pressure and diabetes is a bad one. It causes damage to small blood vessels of the body. And one of the first things to be damaged is the kidneys. And if you don't control your blood pressure and diabetes, those two conditions happening together, you almost inevitably end up with damaged kidneys. So all those who might be having a combination of those two, you have to make sure that they are always under control. Don't say, I have been taking my medicine for diabetes, it is now controlled, I better stop treatment. No, you shouldn't go ahead to stop that treatment on your own. You should ask your doctors first, because usually once you start, it's almost a lifetime treatment for both diabetes and high blood pressure.
The kidneys have very important functions in the body. Dr. Mbonye explains them.
The function of the kidneys is to control fluids in the body and also to sieve out some unwanted, unnecessary substances in the body. They filter all these and they come out in the form of urine. Now, once these kidneys get damaged, you begin to accumulate these unnecessary substances as well as accumulating body fluids in the body. And usually it will manifest itself as swelling in the body. Sometimes you see puffiness in the face and swelling in the legs as one of the first symptoms. And also very little urine coming out. And when usually we take blood, we find the substances that I'm talking about have gone up in the blood. The initial stages of treatment is to give you substances that will encourage the kidneys to pass out a lot of urine in order to control the fluids in the body, as well as get rid of the unneeded substances in the body. As time goes on, usually the kidneys continue to be damaged, and the medicines that we normally give to enable the kidneys to get rid of the water, the fluids in the body, as well as unwanted, unnecessary substances, the kidneys begin to fail to cope with that role.
When the kidneys fail to carry out their functions of regulating the body fluids and eliminating poisonous substances from the body, what procedures do doctors apply to keep the person alive? Dr. Mbonye again.
It becomes necessary to employ a procedure called dialysis. Dialysis is simply an artificial kidney. It's an artificial kidney that we bypass the kidneys, take blood through a machine, cleans it up, takes out some of the water and some of these substances I talked about, and return clean blood back in the body, and the heart saturates it again in the body. And that has to go on forever until usually the end. Now, dialysis is not without any problem. Long-term dialysis has got some complications, and one of them is that certain substances start depositing themselves on the walls of the arteries, the main blood vessels that take blood out of the heart. That's one. And the second one is that your immunity goes down. Immunity is the security system in the body that helps you to fight infections. When you get certain infections, your immune system is what assists. Even when we give antibiotics, it is the immune system that helps you to get rid of infections. When that immunity goes down, you become susceptible to infections. And eventually, when you get these infections, they sometimes affect your blood pressure. And once your blood pressure goes down, then we cannot do dialysis, because if it does, then it takes out a lot of fluids, making your blood pressure fall even more. So we don't do blood dialysis when blood pressures are down. Unfortunately, when that happens, you continue to accumulate unwanted substances and they continue to damage other organs in the body until the end.
That was Dr. Benny Mbonyi, an orthopedic surgeon and a specialist in non-communicable diseases, speaking there from Uganda's capital, Kampala. And that was Health and Healing for this week. This has been John Baptist Tumusime.
Pilgrims of Hope, a weekly program of news, views, and reflections on the Jubilee Year 2025.
Hello, it's another wonderful day to share with you in this journey of hope as I welcome you to today's segment of our program, Pilgrims of Hope, with updates on the events and happenings of the ongoing Jubilee of 2025. My name is Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe, and I'm here once again to accompany you as we journey together in faith and hope. In our world of today, evangelization and bearing witness to the love of God has gone beyond the pulpit with the aid of social media communication. This form of communication, which has become a significant tool for evangelizing, has allowed so many religious organizations and individuals to reach out to a wider range of audience outside the confines of the church through media evangelization and as digital missionaries. By this means, breaking the walls of resistance of so many who either find it difficult to move out of their comfort zone to join the community of the faithful, or those who does not have the opportunity or access to the message of the gospel. This is not without its risks and dangers, as so many need to be schooled on the right form of media evangelization in order to avoid allowing occasions of defeating the main aim and turning the so-called evangelization to content-creating, money-making avenue, or even a conscious or unconscious way of misleading people. For this reason, the Church, in her wiseness and her daily efforts to lead her children to the right path and to direct them on how well to evangelize and bear witness to Christ, even outside the confines of the walls of the Church, especially through the digital or social media, mapped out the 28th to 29th of July 2025 to celebrate the Jubilee of Digital Missionaries and Catholic Influencers. The event, which attracted over 1,700 digital missionaries from all over the world, was the first of its kind. The two-day celebration aimed at fostering communion, deepening mission, and sharing hope through digital platforms had majority of youths in attendance. On Monday, 28th July 2025, at 7:30 a.m., the participants were welcomed with holy masses celebrated at the churches of Santo Spirito Sassia, Santa Maria della Grazia, San Gregory, and San Giuseppe al Trionfale. After the holy mass began the opening ceremony at 9 o'clock a.m. at Auditorium Conciliazione, Via della Conciliazione, Roma. In his opening remark, Paolo Ruffini, prefect of the Dicastery for Communication, welcomed the participants as he invited them to expose themselves to experience and encounter God himself, who is the only one that binds us as digital missionaries and not the web. He reminded them of the aim for being digital missionaries and influencers, which is to sow hope, not despair, to heal and not to divide. According to him, the church has always been a network long before the internet existed, and that this network is one made not of code or content, but of persons, imperfect, diverse, yet united by one baptism and one faith. Hence, he urged them all to be good ambassadors of Christ and to resist the temptations of self-promotion and superficiality, which will go contrary to their mission of bringing Christ to the world in humility. Cardinal Pietro Parolin, Vatican Secretary of State, also addressed the audience with an appeal to be connected to hope. In his words, he said, "You are not only content creators, you are witnesses. You are not just building platforms, you are building bridges. For this reason, your presence online must be marked by truth, charity, and humility in order to promote a culture of encounter." According to him, Even a short post, when shared in faith and love, can become a spark of grace and hope. He went ahead to encourage the influencers to remain rooted in prayer, drawing their strength from the community of the church and her sacraments. In the evening of that same day, around 9:30 p.m., the group participated in Eucharistic adoration and penitential liturgy. The following day, Tuesday, 29th July, 2025, they had a pilgrimage to the Holy Door of St. Peter's Basilica at 8 o'clock in the morning, after which the Holy Mass was celebrated at 10 o'clock a.m., officiated by His Eminence Cardinal Luis Tagle, Pro-Prefect of the Dicastery for Evangelization and New Particular Churches. It was indeed an inspiring event, as many were re-energized and others made decisions to bear witness to Christ through this medium. And this brings us to the end of today's segment of our program, Pilgrims of Hope, as we continue to encourage each and every one of us to be a missionary of hope through our different platforms in the social media, so that through us, Christ may be made known to all, and that all may come to know, love, and hope in Him. I hope to meet you all at the same time, same station, next week. I still remain your companion on the journey, Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe. Jubilee Prayer.
Father in heaven, may the faith you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our brother, and the flame of charity enkindled in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, reawaken in us the blessed hope for the coming of your kingdom. May your grace transform us into tireless cultivators of the seeds of the gospel. May those seeds transform from within both humanity and the whole cosmos in the sure expectation of a new heaven and a new earth, when, with the powers of evil vanquished, your glory will shine eternally. May the grace of the Jubilee reawaken in us pilgrims of hope, a yearning for the treasures of heaven. May that same grace spread the joy and peace of our Redeemer throughout the earth. To you, our God, eternally blessed, be glory and praise forever. Amen.
This is the Africa Service of Vatican Radio. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.